Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your truth. Unarguable, unchallengeable, unchanging. Lord, you said heaven and earth would pass away, but your word would never pass. Father, we thank you for your precious hope. We don't enter it lightly. We don't read it casually, for it is surely the words out of your mouth. We bless you. Amen. Turn with me briefly to Isaiah chapter 31. Isaiah chapter 31 this morning. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 31. We're talking about going back to the subject, the last message in this series of God making all things new. This morning I'd like to talk about identifying with change. Identifying with change. And certainly everything around us is changing. So a couple of questions I have this morning is, how does the Christian serve a changeless God in a rapidly changing world? How do we focus on and solder our eyes on what God wants? And what does one do when challenged to stand for changeless principles in an atmosphere of changing morals? Certainly I'm praying for the young people with us this morning, because I can't think of another time when so many things were so fluid. Everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes. If it's okay with you, it has to be okay. Well, how many know that's not what God said? Just because it's okay with you does not make it okay with God. And it certainly can't make it okay for you and I. And then the third question this morning to ponder is, when confronted with the logic of this world, are we equipped with the tools to present the truth to change lives? That's really what I want to talk about this morning. Isaiah 31 says, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord." And I think it's incumbent upon you and I, it goes without saying that we need to trust God in these times, in these changing times. We need to trust Him and cement our eyes on Him, focus on what He wants and what He desires, because it's going to end up the best if we follow Him. Anybody that's been serving God for any length of time knows what it's like to get out of the will of God and then to try to find your way back. Am I the only one this morning? You're going to let me stand up here alone? You get out of the will of God, and then you got to find your way back to the will of God. And that can be tough, because we've bought the lie, or we've bought somebody else's words, or we get involved in relationships we're not supposed to be involved with, or we do something out of lust instead of out of love. We do those sorts of things. We get involved. We get upset. And now we've got to have healing and all sorts of things, when if we would have listened to God in the first place, we wouldn't have got ourselves in that trouble. You know, and it's very hard sometimes. And, you know, but I think that just to leave that for a moment, I think men have it much easier than women. It's quiet in here. Men can play with toys their whole life. Women can. Men can wear shorts no matter what their legs look like. Is that right? We have one wallet and one pair of shoes, which are good for every season. We can choose whether we want to grow a mustache or not grow a mustache. Men can do their fingernails with a pocket knife, and our bellies hide our hips. To men, chocolate is just another snack. The whole garage is ours. To us, weddings take care of themselves. Men only have to shave their faces and necks. And sometimes not their necks. Men can keep the same hairstyle for years, even decades. Took me exactly 1 minute to do my hair this morning. Men can do their Christmas shopping for 25 relatives in 25 minutes. For men, wrinkles add character. Men can go on a week's vacation and pack only one suitcase. Men don't have to stop and think which way to turn a screw. Men have only one mood all the time. Women are laughing. Men are saying, "That's not me." Hey, a wedding dress costs $5,000, and a tuxedo rental, $100. And we get to give it back. Drop stuff on it. And men can open their own jars. So we have it easier. We don't have as many things to change as women, including diapers. But when we're confronted with the ever-changing world, here it is, January 31st. By the way, we're conserving lights today. We only got one tree lit, so We're doing our part for energy. It's January 31st already. And just yesterday it was January 1st. I mean, time is something that waits on no one. And we're confronted with the challenge we face in this hour. The anointing is available to us to be a winner and to make the change and to be new and to walk new. But just a spoiler where I'm going this morning, it's going to be uncomfortable to achieve and to maintain. Once we decide that we're going to serve God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, there's a challenge. We actually have to do it. We actually have to live it, not just talk about it. Oh, we're good about talking about things, but when we actually do it, it's tough. Turn with me to Isaiah 43, just to go back to the first message in this series. Just a little reflection. Isaiah 43, just a few pages over from Isaiah 31. Isaiah 43 and 18 says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And so while we're pondering this, and I hope that you are with me, Terry and I have just spent the last month just saying, God, what can we do without, and what can we, what do we have to really do to live a separate Christian life? I mean, we've been doing this for years, but how many know sometimes it gets old hat. Somebody said, a rut is like a grave with the two ends kicked out. Doing the same thing every day, and we need to look and to examine ourselves. In fact, the Word of God says that we're to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. Come on, turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you this morning. See, and to examine ourselves is strenuous. To examine ourselves and to say, is everything in my life pleasing to you, God? See? And then we begin to see that God, if we really wait for God to answer that, he'll pick out things that are not pleasing to him. Question is, are we willing to get rid of that to please God? Come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about. Isaiah 43 is speaking. He said, "I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And we said that road construction requires the creation of a continuous right-of-way. God will see to it that you have safe and unobstructed passage. If you say, God, I want this to change in my life, God will make a way. And if he makes a way, it is the way. God's not just trying things out to see if it works for you. Let me get in my bag of tricks and find if this works. If it don't work, we'll go to plan B. If this doesn't work, we'll go to plan C. How many wants to serve a God like that? Not me. God says, I have a way for you, and it is the way. Because he knows our life. He knows where we're going. He knows the direction we're going. He even says in Isaiah, in another place, he says, there is a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk therein, in Isaiah 30:21. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, I'm going to be there. A way in the wilderness includes the protection from the wilderness. And if we are ever living in a wilderness, we're living in a wilderness today. Impure thoughts, lust, all kinds of things that's happening. The internet's our enemy more than it's our friend. Facebook has become a place of quagmire and quicksand. Overcoming geographic obstacles and having grades low enough to permit vehicle or foot travel. God removes all the mountains. He says, I'll bring the mountains down low. I'll bring the valleys up level. A way in the wilderness includes the protection from that wilderness. And so we need to let God get rid of everything that hinders our walk on his highway. He will protect and guide us. God is making a way in this generation that will compel the unbeliever to come in the kingdom. We are being called to be flexible in this hour. Certainly, change is something that happens. Change is not change until it's changed, but everything is changing. And in this fluid society that we live in, we serve a God that's stationary. And if we'll just stay right in his path, that's the narrow way that Jesus talked about, we'll succeed. It may not look like succeeding in the world, but that's okay. The world's not going to be there to judge us at the end. Our Father is. We are being called to be flexible, but being flexible does not mean compromise. It merely means we're going to have to get used to being challenged. This generation is not going to be fooled easy by the same old, same old. We're going to have to bring a message to the lost that speaks louder than our words. And that message has to be that we actually believe what we speak. We actually are living what we speak. We actually love our enemies. Can you believe it? It's like the little boy that we heard the testimony this morning. The little boy says, I want to pray for the children of ISIS. We don't think about those things. See, it means this thing of walking in God and saying that all things are new is fine coming off the tongue, and it sounds good, and it sounds even kind of Pentecostal-like. You know, we can get all excited about it. But it means that we've created a hole in, and we must dig our way out of it. We must fill the hole up. It means we are ministering in a growing hostile environment. The church is not popular. The church is not what we say sometimes offends people. That's okay. The preaching of the cross, my Bible says, is offense to those that are perishing. But to those that are being saved, it's life. So there are absolutes that we are commanded to follow in the Word. Let's just honor God by saying, God, your Word is not open for question. If you said it, I have to obey it. If you said it, that's it. See, and let's look at several key scriptures this morning just to lay the groundwork for that. And I want you to turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14. See, Jesus never made it easy for us. Hello. Christianity is not easy. Jesus never made it easy to be Christ-like or to be a follower of Christ. It's hard. Come on, somebody. The old proverbial, finding a needle in a haystack. Seek me with all your heart, God says, and then you'll find me. It's not the easy thing. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not something that just rolls off the tongue, or we just get up in the morning and just kind of go on cruise. We are asked to work for Christ. James says, show me your faith without works, I'll show you a dead faith. And so we're actively involved all the time. And here in Luke 14, Jesus said, if anyone, and I want you to underline anyone, and that means you could put your name there. So if Rick comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Quiet in here. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 28 says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. If you have room in your column there, you can write 2016, because that's where the church is right now. The world is mocking us, saying, you went to build something, it don't look finished to me. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first to consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now see, this is what separates the casual Christian with the committed Christian. Jesus wants it all. He has a right to have it all. And hating this life and everyone in it, that does not mean we hate you. It means that everything else comes second to God. Everything. It doesn't matter. I love my wife more than life itself, but she does not come before my Savior. Come on, somebody. She does not come. She knows that. She knows that I don't come before Jesus in her life. If God said it, I'm going to obey Him. Father, mother, brothers, sisters, they all got to take second place. Because sometimes we make decisions to please man, and it displeases God. I'm not talking about anybody here today, though. It says to bear our cross. Jesus said, and whoever does not bear his cross and can come after me cannot be my disciple. I want to talk about this cross a little bit, because let me say first what the cross is not. Cross is not sickness. I have this sickness to bear because Jesus wants me to bear this sickness. You get that filthy thought out of your mind right now. Jesus did not give you sickness. Come on, somebody. Is this a Pentecostal church or what? Come on, somebody shout amen. See, Jesus didn't give you sickness. never gave you sickness. Sickness comes from the enemy. And bearing your cross is not weakness. Oh, I would like to, but I just can't because Jesus kept me weak. It's not what the Word says. It says, in my weakness is His strength. That means I rely on His strength. That doesn't mean I'm weak. Sickness is not, bearing our cross is not addictions. I just have to do this. I mean, this is the way I was born. I have proclivity to do this stuff. That's nonsense. See, that's the enemy lying to you. It's not, bearing our cross is not characteristics. I'm angry because my mom was angry, my dad was angry, and I'm just angry. I'm Irish. I'm angry. Live with it. I'm cruel and mean because that's just the way I am. If you don't like my character, God loves me. Why don't you? Come on, somebody. That's not bearing your cross. Bearing your cross is things like putting everyone ahead of you. Wait, you just said that God's supposed to be ahead of everyone. You got to be behind everyone. We serve everybody. See, come on, somebody. That means everyone. Means the guy that gives you, you know, the sign on the road. That sign. One way. We're called to put everyone in front of us. It means bearing our cross means allowing Christ to use us at all times. We're His property. We can't say to God, not now, I'm busy. We've said that too long. We say, I'll do it when I get time. No, if God speaks it, He's wanting you to do it now. By the way, we can't use that as an excuse for being late to work. God told me to go and I can't go to work today. No, you better make sure it's God. Bearing our cross is dying to fleshly desires. Most people don't know it. I haven't said, and most people don't know this about me, but I used to love sports, man. I'd watch sports all the time. Baseball, football, basketball. I'd be in front of the TV hours and hours and hours. I just loved every game that was on. I loved. And God said, you can't do this. If you want to serve me, about 15 years ago, He said, if you want to serve me, you've got to give all this up. I said, God, I really like it. Come on, somebody. I knew players. I knew statistics. I knew all sorts of things, but I was hard pressed to memorize God's Word. Just me. So Jesus said, hey, if you want to follow me and be my disciple, you've got to die to yourself. You've got to put me in front, and then you've got to carry your cross. What bearing the cross is finishing what you start and forsaking all you have. We cannot give things up by degrees. What we hold on to is hindrance to relationship. If God said, don't do it, don't do it. God, aren't you proud of me? I only did it once this month. No, if God said, don't do it, it's... don't do it. Die already. It's good for you. Die to yourself. Die. It's better to be a dead man serving Christ than a live man needing forgiveness. Be willing to lose your life for Him. Watch what He says. Matthew 16:25 says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Whoo. Be willing to lose your life for Him, and you will gain your life for eternity. Being left out of the greatest move of God on this earth really doesn't take much. Just don't do anything. Let me ask you this question this morning. Do you really want to talk about what you missed when the whole thing ends? Do you really want to gather in heaven and say, man, we really missed it. Glad we're here, but we missed the whole thing. God is looking and identifying with those that are going to embrace change and hold on to the new. Especially in this hour. Especially in this hour that we live in. Lamentations 5:21 says, turn us back to You, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old. So God, we're asking You to renew our days so that we'll be committed to You, that we'll be Your disciples, and we'll see this world turn around before You come. Habakkuk 3:2 says, O Lord, I have heard Your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive Your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. I think of Nineveh when Jonah was walking through Nineveh and preaching, shouting to the people. Jonah didn't want to shout this to the people, but he shouted to the people. He was saying, you know, turn around, repent, or I'm going to destroy the city. In 3 days, the city is going to be destroyed. And what happened to the people? The people relented and repented. And God said, I'm not going to destroy the city now. We're headed pell-mell for destruction in the world. Forget just the United States, in the world. But I believe God's mercy is above His law. I just believe that. That's what the Word of God says. He puts His mercy above His Word. He's merciful. Come on, somebody. He doesn't want anybody to die, wishing no one would perish. And so as we cry out to God, God could turn this. Will He turn this thing? I believe He will. I believe He'll turn this thing around. But it's going to take all of us pushing in the same direction. Renewal comes from the mercies of God. After revival of the church and renewal of our resolve, God will cause the spiritual ground to bring a great harvest. For then the souls of men will once again be entrusted to the church, the representation of God on this earth. The reason why the church hasn't got souls is because He can't trust us with them. We make it so easy to be a Christian, we forget what Christ said. Christ said, if you want to be My disciple, which is the epitome of Christianity, it's to be a disciple. Come on, somebody. God never shone the spotlight on casual believers. He rebuked casual believers. Jesus took the religious people of the day and said, you're like whitewashed sepulchres. You look good on the outside, but inside you're filled with dead men's bones. That's a hard word. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear everything's okay. I want to get a pat on my head and I want God to say you're okay. But God wants changes to be made so that once again He can entrust us with the souls of this generation. God really wants to say, is this a net, is new life a place that can be trusted with new believers? Because if it can't, we're just going to sit here and do what we've been doing for all these years. Well, Pastor Rick, we've been doing good things. I'm not saying that. But to be effective and to do what the front office in heaven is doing, because the front office in heaven is changing lives and is winning souls. Come on, somebody. But the telltale thing that can't get out, it's kind of the elephant in the room, is that are we living the Christian life to the fullest that we're supposed to so that God can trust us with the precious souls that He loves? Those that have compromised and preach anything and say it's an easy thing to be a Christian, God's always happy, you can do whatever you want and still get to heaven, they're packing them in. But they're making converts twice the sons of hell that they are. Don't throw anything at me. I'm just saying, Jesus, when did Jesus change His words? Is there a version? If there is, give it to me and I'll study it and make sure. Is there a version that changes God's word and says, I used to believe that way, but I don't believe this way. You can do anything you want and still get to heaven. That's not what God's word says. Matter of fact, the communication out of our mouth, the very words of our mouth will be judged by. Change in the midst of all things new. Do not look to organizations and ministries for your sustenance. The church is your family. New life needs to continue to build strong bonds of love between one another. We need to commit to helping each other get there, to be the disciple that Christ wants. Come on, somebody. When you get together with people that want to be the best, you want to be the best. See, when you get together with people, just mediocrity is where they want to be. You want to be mediocre. Let's drive each other to jealousy. And I'm not talking about being weird. You know, everything out of your mouth is your God. I'm just talking about holding a standard in your life. I believe Jesus was the most humorous person that ever walked the earth. I think He laughed a lot. He did a lot of things that would make you laugh. He made the nervous Peter jumped in the water naked and swam to shore without any clothes on. That's funny. So I'm not talking about being weird. I'm not talking about walking around and speaking King James English to everybody. I'm talking about living a life that reflects the glory and the love of God. Not taking yourself so seriously, but worshiping God and honoring God in everything you do. And God will always make adjustments. He has a right to make adjustments because He owns me. I've said it before, I'll say it again. There are things that I did 6 months ago I can't do anymore. There are things that I did before I can't do anymore. If I'm going to have more of God, He wants to have more of me. So we need to leave no room for offense. Build relationships within the church that will build trust, that we'll be able to confess our faults to one another, but believe the best from one another. Let's create an atmosphere where we believe the best from one another. If I'm having a bad day, allow for the fact that I'll have a bad day, I'll be okay tomorrow. Don't write me off. Anybody there? Come on. Trust the Lord to build a strong bond with others. We are in this together and committed to each other. This series has been for one thing and one thing only. It's just to ask you, stay the course. Embrace this new that God has given you. Make the changes necessary to receive the new now while there is relative calm. While you can hear my voice, make the changes necessary now, because the days are coming when we'll be so compelled just to live life that it'll be hard to make changes. Come on, somebody. I'd like to tell you we're headed for good, calm days. I don't believe that. But I believe in the midst of the storm, there'll be great harvest. Coming a day when the battle will be so intense that making a change will be very difficult. But that's not today. Relative calm. Amen? I'm loving this weather. Last year at this time, we had two services we had to cancel in February. How many remember that? Were you here last year? So it's a relative calm time. It's a good time to get on our faces before God and God say, God, make it. So next week, you do not want to. One thing I want to tell you is next week we're having water baptism. It's not junior water. It's not teen water. It's everything water. So if you want to be water baptized, come and get ready to be water baptized, whether you're 16 or 65. Come on, somebody. So the water baptism is not, it's not junior water, and we'll get senior water next time. It's just water. So if you've never been water baptized, you want to approach Brad and make sure that you're ready to do that. Starting the week after, I'm going to be doing a series on the book of Joshua. So I'm going to ask you to read the book of Joshua kind of ahead of time. I want to talk about Joshua being a leader, a warrior, and a victor. I want to talk about Joshua the man on the 14th, Joshua the leader on the 21st, Joshua the warrior on February 28th, and the first weekend of March, we'll talk about Joshua the victor. Someplace God is taking us, we want to grab that. And the life of Joshua is one of the things that we could study to say, God, I want to be everything that I can be for you. Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for your purpose, your plan for us. God, we as a church look forward to serving you in the midst of change. God, from the top down, from every board member, every elder, myself, Terry, God, may we reflect your glory in everything we do. God, may each one that calls this church their home, may we glorify you in everything we do. We thank you, we bless you, we honor you this morning, God. We thank you, we bless you, we honor you, we glorify your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, we're here. Have a wonderful week. I'll see you on Wednesday.